Microsoft blames the government for the ransomware attack. The MP3 is dead or just sleeping, like my cat. Lyft and Waymo reportedly strike a deal. And an internet-connected salt shaker that is also smart and is called Smalt. All that and a whole lot more coming up on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1768, recorded Monday, May 15th, 2017.
This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. See what's on the menu this week and get three meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TNT.
And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/TNT.
Welcome to Tech News Today. This is the show where we tell you everything that happened today in technology. I'm Megan Maroney.
I'm Jason Howell. Not everything outside of technology. It's just, we've got to be pigeonholed into just technology.
Yes, thankfully. Yes, we get to just talk about technology.
It's probably a good thing.
I think it is today, shall we?
We do an okay job, trying to cover 40 minutes of just technology. If we opened it up, who knows how long the show would be? Seriously.
True.
All right, let's do it.
Microsoft President and Chief Legal Officer Brad Smith is once again calling for a digital Geneva convention after Friday's cyber attack that moved into China over the weekend. Writing on the Microsoft blog, Smith calls out the potential harm caused when governments, ours included, actively work to develop zero-day vulnerabilities and then hoard them. The WannaCry ransomware attack exploited a vulnerability that Microsoft patched back in March, but that was originally stolen from United States National Security Agency, who used it for spying. More than 200,000 computers in over 150 countries have been locked by the ransomware as of this weekend. So, yeah, Brad Smith stand up saying, hey, governments shouldn't do this. It's dangerous for all of us. The government is saying, well, it's really the cyber criminals that are dangerous. And then there's a lot of people saying, really, it's Microsoft that's dangerous because they need to be, patching this stuff. And they patched it. And then a lot of people are saying, well, it's the people that haven't installed their updates that are dangerous. And then there's a lot of people who are writing in saying, you know what, there's good reason for me not to be installing my updates. And here are my five reasons. So everyone's sort of passing the blame. Some people are paying the Bitcoin ransom. Other people aren't. I think companies have paid over $42,000.
That was as of this morning. I think I just saw upwards of around 50,000. Wow. Or maybe they're just reporting different numbers. But yeah, maybe. It seems to be going up.
And then I think it was Quartz that said that it would be higher if people understood Bitcoin.
But well, that's true.
Bitcoin is hard. It's hard to pay in Bitcoin.
Right. I mean, if you saw that you had some sort of ransomware attack and you had not, for whatever reason, been connected to the technology that you're operating your business on enough to know that, hey, maybe I should update the software and that would make me more secure, then maybe you could extend that out to say, maybe there's a Venn diagram where those people and the don't understand what a Bitcoin is overlaps significantly. I would imagine that's probably very true.
Yeah. There are people just bringing in giant bags of chocolate coins.
You can bite these? Yeah. See? Security industry rose 3.3% in trading today. So the hackers are not the only ones making money right now. The security industry is working overtime, or at least riding the wave of fear that many people have when they see the headlines that have been going all weekend long. You did a really great job, I have to say, of illustrating the complexity of this in the sense that everyone but no one is directly at fault for something like this, right? Nation states should not, try and find vulnerabilities in technology because this could happen. But they're not going to not do it. Of course they're going to do it because they have to keep up with all the other nation states that are doing that. Yes, Microsoft totally should patch all of their OSs in perpetuity because something of this magnitude, is maybe really bad for the greater good. But they're not going to do it because, they're going to cut off old operating systems like XP and all these other ones, even though so many computers, you know, operating, running these businesses behind the scenes still rely on XP. So, I mean, you know, if you take a look at that, like, does that behoove Microsoft to update for their old OSs in perpetuity forever and ever because so many people choose to run them? Like, there is no one person to blame. And that's why this is such an interesting and important wake-up call, I think.
I thought Leo said that they were patching XP.
They were, but they decided to after the fact on the realization that this is kind of a big deal. Right. Maybe we should do it this one time. But they don't do that normally. And the update that happened back in March, I mean, that didn't include XP users.
But they decided today that was news today.
I think that over the weekend, or even Friday, they announced that they were going to do that. But I guess my point there is, okay, so Microsoft updated it in March, but still, a big reason why this even happened is because of all of these businesses that are still running on this legacy OS that wouldn't have got that update anyway. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Smith's argument is that you should treat them like weapons, that they are. They're cyber weapons.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, you shouldn't stockpile them just like, you know, we don't want to stockpile physical weapons. But, you know, that happens also.
Yeah, well, that's very true. So it's super complex, and I suppose we'll see what this leads to, which I fear is yet another attack similar to this and escalations and all that fun stuff. And we'll talk about it if that happens. Netflix is taking aim at Android users who unlock and root their devices by disabling the app's visibility in the Play Store for those users. Netflix said they've switched to Google's Widevine DRM technology to restrict the app's usage on uncertified and altered devices. However, as of right now, the only restriction these targeted users are seeing is the ability to find the app in the Play Store. Those with the app installed on their device already can still use it. For now, it sounds like the plan, though, is that Netflix, you know, based on kind of some of the wording of their own insight into this, is that they plan on making it so that their app will not run on those devices sometime in the near future.
So I didn't know that there was a lot of stuff you couldn't do with a rooted Android device. Developers of Pokemon Go also blocked Pokemon Go from rooted devices. So I don't know what else can't you do?
To be honest, it's been a while since I've rooted my own device. I used to live in this world. I rooted for years, and it was because it was filling in the gaps that Android as an operating system didn't cover. So it was like I rooted in order to kind of bring extra functionality to the device. A lot of people, I mean, that used to root don't anymore. So I imagine the amount of people that are doing this with their devices is less now than it was years ago. And I'm sure some of those people are doing it just for things like customization, just for things like, you know, kind of fill in the gaps like I was talking about. But there's also a portion of people that do that because it gives them the ability to do, you know, deeper level system things. For example, we don't really know exactly why Netflix is doing this, but it is DRM after all. So you could kind of assume that maybe this is helping Netflix feel like they are tackling an issue of, I don't know, users using the app and then offlining their video and then keeping that stored on their device, which is something that you could probably do if you're a rooted user, I'm imagining. So this DRM would allow them to kind of cut it off at the spigot and just basically say you're running a modified OS, so we won't even let you use the app at all, so that you can't get access to those video files.
So when I download a video, you know, on Netflix, one of the
offline, set it offline or whatever,
offline, and then like it just makes it enabled. You know, I can only watch it for a few days or whatever their time limit is. So with a rooted device, you might be able to save that.
I'm guessing, yeah. I mean, you know, Netflix didn't really do a very good job of illustrating exactly why they're implementing this DRM. But that would be my guess, is that there's the potential of people kind of saving those media files. It could also be deals that Netflix makes with its partners. You know, it has to strike these deals with partners, and maybe part of that deal is that they you know, the actual partners are saying, well, you know, you're on mobile devices, and we feel really wary about the idea of, you know, this offline content just being, you know, slurped up by people willy-nilly, and so we want better protection. But Netflix really doesn't say. But ultimately, it does prevent people who have these rooted devices, whether they're using it just for customization or whether they're using it to inadvertently get access to things they shouldn't have, from using the Netflix app right at the top once Netflix kind of follows through on their entire plan here.
Is there a difference between jailbreaking an iPhone and rooting an Android phone?
I'd say they're probably pretty comparable. It's kind of the same thing. But I don't know. I mean, is there a big... I know that there's a community around jailbreaking on iPhone. I know that there's a passionate community around, you know, rooting Android devices. I would probably, guess that they're very, very similar.
Well, you've seen the movie Her with Scarlett Johansson, right? If you haven't, go watch it.
I haven't.
You haven't?
No,
go
I need to.
Go see it. Or just live it in real life. Facebook's new initiative, Parl AI or Parlay. Uh-huh. It sounds like this movie in real life. TechCrunch reports that Parlay is Facebook's plan to open source the dialogue used to train machines to have conversations, also with a focus on computer vision and other fields of artificial intelligence involved in learning how to understand a task. When they say conversation, they don't just mean play my podcasts or what's the weather, but real conversations. Parlay will connect directly to Amazon's Mechanical Turk, the easily accessible remote workforce of humans being paid next to nothing to help train the AI. Jan LeCun, the head of the research group at Facebook behind this initiative, says one of their objectives is to give you your own digital friend.
Oh.
So the video for this is not as creepy as it sounds. It showed a lot of people who, blind people looking at Facebook and seeing, you know, like the description of, you know, that was a picture of a tree with, you know, that was a close up picture of a baby, that sort of thing that we've talked about before, mm-hmm. like adding that metadata because people don't add it themselves when they upload pictures. So just having, you know, if you're watching this now, you'll see it's training the AI to see all these cute dogs and be able to tell what kind of dog breed they are. And then in the future, learn that. It is one of those things that would be incredibly useful to someone that was blind and many other uses, I'm sure. And also if you needed a digital friend and or a girlfriend, also useful.
Yeah, right. They didn't spend any time in this promotional video talking about your digital fake, you know, girlfriend or significant other in the form of a robot that you're talking with and sharing your life with. But I mean, the video is great. Like you watch it and like, especially what we're watching right now where you're seeing, you know, these people who are blind experiencing the description of the image. And, you know, it opens up a whole new world for them where suddenly they have understanding. Their mind's eye is creating the image for them based on, you know, this dynamically created text that is being read aloud through Facebook's algorithm. So that's just, I think that's a starting point. Facebook also, like last year was the year of the chatbot. And really, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it feels like the chatbot kind of jumped and then fell flat on the ground and didn't really see it live up at this point to what people may have expected out of it. Maybe this helps that. If you can get a chatbot to a point to where people don't feel like they're having a conversation with a bot, but actually it becomes this free-flowing conversation. I think one of the articles that I read about this in VentureBeat kind of put it in the fact that like actual conversation isn't just focused on individual pieces such as talking about a movie or booking a restaurant. Our conversation often connects all of those dots and connects all those pieces together into this free-flowing kind of thing. And that's part of Facebook's goal here, to connect all these dots between all these different topics so that when you talk to it, it can be more human. And I mean, that is, I think, a part of the future of technology.
Like, yeah, right now we only have assistants and it works pretty well. You don't necessarily want to have a conversation with your assistant. You just want them to, play your podcast or play your music or help you with your homework or turn off the lights or those kinds of things. But, you know, there are people, it has been proven that people do want that sort of relationship with robots. I know there was the robot or the AI. I think it was in China where, you know, they had recorded all the interactions with it. 75% of the people had told it that they loved it, you know, you'd find that. I mean, some people are joking, but, you know, I do think there is that also the desire for contact that people have. I mean, think about Facebook, for example. People call that connection, but it really isn't. I mean, it's not really that far from, you know, talking to a robot. You're not like when you're like, oh, look at my friend from elementary school who I haven't seen in 30 years and I probably will never see. You know, mm-hmm. It's like that's you're going steps towards that kind of, I think, non-connection. It's you believe it's connection, but it's not really.
For all you know, they could be a robot. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just posted about seeing that movie that's in the movie theater. A robot could do that. I think.
That's true.
But yeah,
for all you know, you could be the only one living in your own Truman Show. Like, who knows?
True. The world is just a construct around me. I'm the only one that matters. This is how reality really works.
He knows. Whoop,
whoop, whoop. Don't cry for the MP3 file format now that its patent licensing has officially expired. It isn't going anywhere, not at least for now. But as of April 23rd, Fraunhofer Institute, the creators of the MP3 audio file format, terminated its licensing program, declaring the format officially dead. Also, don't cry for Fraunhofer. They're also responsible for the AAC file format. That's the MP3 successor as digital audio standard, higher quality, lower file size, more efficient audio compression, all through and through. But there isn't a whole lot of news here other than the fact that the patent expired and it seems like an official passing of the guard. But other than the fact that the MP3 as a file format changed so much about the media landscape and especially about the music industry that, I don't know, it just seems important to mention it. I don't think we talked about it back in April when that happened. I don't know if I even heard that it happened back in April, which kind of surprises me.
Yeah, I mean, CNET, like you, says the MP3 is not dead. It's just sleeping. But yeah, That's what my parents told me about my cat when I was 6 years old. And I know now that they're lying. So I don't know what to say. Is it dead or not? Just tell me the truth.
I don't think that it's dead. I don't know about your cat. But I don't think the MP3 file format is dead. It's still heavily supported.
Okay.
I think a lot of people still encode into MP3 out of sheer laziness because they don't know about the benefits of some of the other ones or the fact that it's, as far as like DRM, we were talking about earlier, MP3 is about as un-DRM'd as it gets for the most part. But it's just, it's cool to see what MP3 as a file format has brought in the amount of time that it existed. It was released in 1993. They created the file format initially to be able to broadcast higher quality audio over a telephone line with very small amounts of data. They worked on that for a couple of years, nearly abandoned the development in 1995 because they didn't have a whole lot of licensing going on. And then they started to release the software that allowed anyone to convert their CDs into MP3 file format. And then, the rest is history. Napster happened, mm-hmm. iPod happened, and all that kind of stuff. And, eventually AAC was what Apple kind of swapped for it.
Burke has an explanation.
Burke says, it just means they can't charge money for it. Patent expired. Yep. That's true. They said that they aren't really licensing it that much anymore anyways. So,
and that is also what my parents said about my cat.
Said your cat license expired. We can't make any more money from your cat, so whatever.
the Jif patent expired 10 years ago too,
yeah.
And that's still alive and well.
Whoever would have thought that mm-hmm. the Jif would return mm-hmm. To dominance the way it has mm-hmm. with animations and stuff.
We have not one but two rumors about exciting apps coming to the iPhone soon. David Ruddick says at Google I/O this week, the company is planning to announce that Google Assistant will come to your iPhone soon as a standalone app. I know it's already part of Allo, but it's coming as a standalone app. I talked to Ruddick today. He said they have a very specific reason for bringing it to the iPhone, but he could not say. Other than
your
the
tip
fact,
on the nose.
I know. That it might encourage other developers to integrate Assistant into their apps. And then the other news is that Legend of Zelda is coming to the iPhone at the end of the year after Animal Crossing. So I did a little informal poll to see which people cared about more, Legend of Zelda coming to the iPhone or Google Assistant coming to the iPhone on Twitter. People want Legend of Zelda more.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
So far.
Zelda's got a lot of brand cachet. Maybe it'll be Zelda Run, which I would imagine would just upset people because that is not the Zelda that people want on their mobile device. But
we did talk about this on iOS today, and it's probably going to be something that's not as good as Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, it's as far reaching. It would be cool. I would be way into it if they did like a mobile RPG based around Zelda. I think that's what most people would hope to see if they're actually working on bringing Zelda to the mobile platform. But, mobile gaming is different than console gaming, so I really wouldn't be surprised if they go in a different direction with it and upset people in the process.
And why do you think the standalone Google Assistant app is coming to the iPhone?
I don't know if I have any theories as far as why, other than Google does a decent job taking their apps and services and rolling them out. I mean, I don't know. Assistant feel... It, it seems like Google has a lot to gain from getting Assistant into more people's hands, you know, and there are a ton of Google users on iOS platforms. So in some ways it kind of makes sense. It is interesting though, when you kind of compare that against this time last year, or right around the time of the Pixel device launch last year, where Assistant was a key feature of that device and a selling point for why it existed and why it was special. Now Assistant is being opened far and wide. And I think he kind of saw that, like I kind of expected that would happen eventually. But that does in some ways take away a little bit of a competitive advantage of Google's own platform versus the other. But you know, I think Assistant is pretty great. I think everybody should have the ability to use it.
What about if Google's trying to get more people to buy Google Home versus the Amazon Echo?
That could be. Although I was doing some searching before trying to figure out like what is the benefit of me having Assistant in my pocket and in Google Home at the same time that someone on iOS currently doesn't enjoy, because you know, Home works with iOS, but they don't have Google Assistant in their pocket on an iPhone running. Is there any benefit to the fact that I do? And I can't really think of any real benefit there.
Well, maybe you would like it, and then you would be like, oh, I want to be able to use this. I'm going to buy a Google Home.
Potentially so, yeah. Have it as a reason to maybe motivate you to buy the Google Home as a result. Yeah.
Quick reminder. You can discuss anything that we're talking about, tnt@twit.tv. Email us. We read all your email. We don't get to respond to
all of them. We read all your email. The ones that you send to us.
Yeah. I mean, he just reads the one you send. I have access to everything. And you guys are crazy.
Wanna cry?
And of course, subscribe to Tech News Today by going to our show page at twit.tv/TNT. It is a big day for self-driving car news, and we will talk all about it after the break. But first, let's take a minute to thank Blue Apron, the sponsor of this episode. Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with fresh, high-quality ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Every meal that you get will come with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. So the recipe card, it's laminated. It can last a long time. You can make that recipe again and again. And every ingredient comes pre-portioned. So if you need vinegar, it comes in a tiny little bottle. If you need chili powder, it comes in a tiny little package. Whatever you need. If you need an egg, it comes all prepared in this tiny little styrofoam egg holder, probably not styrofoam, something more sustainable, but it is protected on its way to you. If you spend a lot of time at restaurants or high-end grocery chains, you can now spend under $10 per meal for a delicious meal. That's per person for a delicious meal. Blue Apron sets the highest quality standards for their communities of over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. By shipping the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, Blue Apron is reducing food waste. And it's less expensive too, so you don't have to buy giant bottles of things when you go to the grocery store that can cost a lot and you just use once. Their freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they will make it right. Blue Apron delivers to 99% of the continental U.S. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. And if something comes up, as things always do come up, and you don't make your Blue Apron meal on the day it arrives or the day after, no worries. They come fresh and they stay fresh. We had some 5 spiced salmon last night for Mother's Day. It was delicious. It was not cooked by me. It was not shopped by me. My husband cooked it, and Blue Apron shopped for it, and my kids ate all of it, including the bok choy, which I'd never
really
tried. Yes, they ate and loved. It was excellent bok choy. And it was made by one of their junior chefs. So maybe that was why it was so delicious, because junior chefs know what kids like to eat.
Yeah.
You can customize your recipes every week based on your dietary preferences. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. Here's an example of what you might get in your box if you order baked spinach and egg flatbread with sautéed asparagus and lemon aioli, or beef teriyaki stir fry with sugar snap peas and lime rice, or crispy salmon and roasted potato salad with pickled mustard seeds and creme fraiche sauce.
That sounds really good.
Or
I was gonna say,
3 cheese and baby broccoli stromboli with tomato and oregano dipping sauce. Check out this week's menu and get three meals free with your first purchase and free shipping. You do not pay for shipping by going to blueapron.com/TNT. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/TNT. Blue Apron is a better way to cook.
All right, there's a veritable fleet of auto tech stories today, so we thought we'd enlist the help of Sam Abu El-Samid from Navigant Research to talk through it all. Welcome, Sam.
Hello, Jason and Megan. How are you today?
Doing awesome. It's great to have you back. We've got not one, not two, but three stories to discuss today. So first up, a federal judge has officially blocked top Uber engineer Anthony Lewandowski from any work that relates to the company's LiDAR technology. This is kind of the result, or at least the latest result from the case between Waymo and Uber. This was expected, I would say. At this point, I was kind of expecting it myself. What does this tell you about the direction of the case?
Certainly seems to indicate that the judge, Judge Alsup, thinks that this is, you know, there's definitely enough evidence here to move, to keep moving forward. He also decided that the case was not going to go to arbitration. It was going to be heard in his court. So it's definitely seems to show that there's some probability that Waymo is going to prevail in this case. And just as a reminder, Judge Alsup was the one who, back in the early days, the original part of the Google Oracle lawsuit, was the one who ruled in favor of Google in that lawsuit, and actually taught himself to program some JavaScript, I think, and wrote some JavaScript code.
That's right.
Just to demonstrate, or it was some Java code, not JavaScript, Java code, to to show off, why, APIs should not be copyrightable.
That's interesting. That's right. Now, one thing that is happening, however, is that the judge is allowing Uber to continue to work on its LiDAR. So it's not shutting it off entirely. It's just saying you, Lewandowski, cannot be involved with it. How much of an impact does Lewandowski not being involved have on the development at this stage? Is it pretty minimal, would you say?
Probably. I mean, you know, Uber's got a lot of other engineers. I think one of the parts of his ruling was not only that Lewandowski could not participate, but also that Uber could not use any materials or knowledge that they got from Lewandowski. And wow, that could be more problematic for them. So I think it sounds like at this point, at least for now, if Uber is going to continue their development, they're going to have to do it with some off-the-shelf LiDAR components and not use anything that they have put together in-house.
So I've read through some of the documents, and it seems to me that Lewandowski went to – they have a lot of evidence that he really did take these documents, or that someone took these documents on his behalf. I mean, they had very complicated systems set up not to get access to all of the LiDAR information. But, you know, they have someone logging in during this time. They have records that he put it on a thumb drive. Lewandowski appears to be kind of, a crook. Like, he was an awesome engineer and really, young, and worked, built a robot in college and was great and smart. But now seems like he really was stealing those documents. And yet Uber still has him as an employee. Do you think that Uber would... I mean, why do you think Uber still has him as an employee and hasn't fired him? Because it makes him look guilty?
Yeah, probably. I'm not particularly familiar with the labor laws in California. I'm not a lawyer. I think I have to bring in Denise Howell to talk about that one, perhaps. But, it may be a matter of not wanting to look guilty, and also, basically treating him as innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Even though, there seems to be evidence there that looks particularly strong, until a judge rules definitively that he was guilty of breaking the law and stealing these documents, then, he's at least going to stay on the Uber payroll, even though he's apparently not allowed to work on anything related to the autonomous driving program for now. So he's basically on house arrest, I think, with Uber.
It's kind of like in Silicon Valley where they just put them on the roof and they just hang out there and play ping pong.
But it does say that an Uber engineer did testify that Lewandowski communicates with the head of self-driving at Uber every day on a daily basis. Mm-hmm.
Even though they said, that he wasn't going to have any input, he was still very much connected to and involved with it.
Well,
we are
talking about Uber here, a company that's not exactly renowned for following the rules.
It's very shocking.
I know.
I'm amazed they would do such a thing.
Well, in a move that one could easily interpret as salt in the wound, Waymo and Uber rival Lyft confirmed a new cooperative deal that brings the two companies together with a shared goal of mainstreaming autonomous vehicle technology. Explain what exactly this deal encompasses for Lyft and Waymo.
Well, actually, to be honest, neither Waymo or Lyft have actually officially announced anything. The original story that came out last night in the New York Times by Mike Isaac, they had apparently got information from some sources inside the companies, but nothing has been officially announced as of yet by either company. So all we can really do is speculate. But it looks like, based on Mike Isaac's story, that what they're doing is Waymo is going to be deploying Lyft is going to be deploying some of the Waymo minivans on their platform at some point in the near future for testing. Last week or the week before, Waymo announced their early rider program where they were launching their own ride-hailing service in the Phoenix area using their fleet of Chrysler Pacifica minivans and starting to test that out. And now they're putting some of these with Lyft. And it sounds like it's similar to the deal that Uber and Mercedes-Benz announced back in March, where Mercedes is going to be deploying some of their upcoming autonomous vehicles on the Uber platform, basically using Uber's platform to allow riders to request rides, and then Mercedes vehicles would show up. They'd be owned by Mercedes and operated just as any other normal driver would show up using the Uber platform. I think this is going to be something similar for Lyft. So Lyft riders can request a ride, and a Waymo van will come and pick them up. I think that one of the things to keep in mind is that Lyft also has a partnership with General Motors. GM invested $500 million in Lyft last year, and they've announced that Lyft is going to also be testing some autonomous Chevrolet Bolts on their system. At some point in the next year or so, they're going to start doing that. But those are very different vehicles from the minivans that Waymo is using. So it's possible that what Lyft is doing here is they're working on algorithms for how to deploy different types of vehicles on their service based on what riders request. So if you've got a group of people traveling, you could request a larger vehicle like the minivan, or if it's just one or two people, they can get a Bolt. Or they may also be reserving the minivans for their Lyft Line service, which is their carpooling service, and using them there. So we'll have to wait and see when the official announcement comes out, which could be in the next couple of days.
So has Lyft ever been in the self-driving car business? Like, have they ever hired anyone, like any engineers that are involved in self-driving cars, or have they ever talked about doing any sort of self-driving car technology?
No, I've talked to people at Lyft, and they're not interested in developing the autonomous driving technology on their own. What they want to do is partner with manufacturers, with car makers that are doing it, and get them to deploy their vehicles on their service. And until now, the presumption has been that GM would be perhaps the one and only doing that because of their investment in Lyft. But obviously, it's clear, if assuming that this Waymo deal is true, then the GM deal is perhaps not exclusive, and they're open to working with other companies as well.
I mean, I imagine that there's at least some truth here. The deal, I guess, in this article I'm seeing, deal was confirmed. So all we have is a confirmation at this point between Lyft and Waymo that there's something happening. And I guess we'll find out hopefully
in
the next few days.
It's been confirmed by sources. There's nothing's been officially announced, and no one is talking on the record about it yet.
Got it.
So presumably this will be happening. I reached out to some of my contacts, and they weren't willing to say anything on the record yet. But I think in the next day or so, we'll probably hear something. Perhaps at this conference that I'm going to be at in Santa Clara over the next couple of days, there is going to be someone from Lyft speaking at that conference. So perhaps she'll make an announcement at that time.
Yeah, that could be a good time for that. And I have to imagine that would be a good spot for Lyft to be in. They're a distant second in the ride hailing services, you know, behind Uber. But partnering up with Waymo in this facility could be nothing but good for them. But in news that is confirmed, finally, Google today announced a new partnership with Audi and Volvo that brings Android into their vehicles, not only Android Auto to control the infotainment system, but on a deeper level. What does today's announcement entail exactly? Is this control over everything technology inside of these vehicles?
Sort of. So this goes back to an announcement that Google made at CES back in 2014 when they announced the Open Automotive Alliance. They announced that they were going to develop a version of Android to run on car infotainment systems. The Android Auto that we know today is basically kind of a driver layer that sits on the vehicle head unit and communicates with software that's running on your phone when you connect your phone, and then it displays information that's projected from the phone onto the screen in your car. And then it translates the control signals, you know, whether it's touch screen or a control knob or whatever type of interface the car has. This next stage actually takes Android, full-blown Android stack, and puts it right on the head unit. So the whole infotainment system is running Android. The picture you're seeing there is actually from the car my wife and I just bought a couple of weeks ago, which is a 2017 Honda Civic, which has actually been running Android for a couple of years. And if you dig into the stack, you can actually find the open source Android browser. And this is actually a separate program. This is not part of the Android Automotive program. Honda basically took the Android open source project and then built their infotainment interface on top of that. And then, it's running an old version of Jelly Bean. But what they're putting on the Audis and Volvos is going to be brand new stuff, at least Android 7. Probably by the time it actually gets to market, it'll probably be Android 8, Android O. You'll have Google will have a version of their default interface, you know, like they do with phones on the Pixel and Nexus phones. There will be a pure Android version interface that would be available. But I think manufacturers, Audi hasn't shown theirs yet. Volvo has in their announcement had a concept video that basically showed a version of their current interface that they have today on their Sensus infotainment system, but it's running on Android. Back at CES in January, Chrysler showed a prototype vehicle with an Android-based infotainment system it was running full-blown Android underneath, but it had the same interface as their current production Uconnect system. So manufacturers will be able to put whatever interface they want on top of it, but it's running just like you've got HTC and LG and Samsung put their own interfaces on top of Android on phones. Car makers will be able to do the same thing, but presumably you'll be able to run Android apps right on the head unit instead of having to rely on your phone and then using the car's built-in data connection to run those apps.
Hmm. What about Google Assistant? There was also some talk of putting Google Assistant in Android Auto. I mean, would I be able to say like, hey, you know, Google, could take me to a restaurant that I've been to before and drive 55 miles an hour?
We would assume that would be the case. If they're going to put Assistant into this, that you'll be able to use it the same way you use Assistant on a Google Home device or on a Pixel or other phone that supports Assistant. You'll have the same sort of AI capabilities in the car to presumably interface with whatever apps that Assistant can interface with, and then do those sorts of tasks like make a reservation for you with just a voice command, which would be much better than having to tap around on the screen to do the same things.
Or maybe Assistant on your iPhone. Dun, dun, dun. Calling back to earlier in the show.
Well, that's, you know, that's the funny thing in the Honda, in our Honda, if I plug in an iPhone into it and run CarPlay on there, it's actually CarPlay running on Android.
What?
Really?
Because the head unit is running Android.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So you can run iOS on Android.
Wow. My brain just exploded. Sorry if you heard that. That was my brain exploding. Sam Abu El Samid, really appreciate you taking time to join us today. Tell people about all the cool stuff you're doing, your podcast, your site, all that stuff.
Yeah, so you can find the stuff I do for my day job as a senior analyst at Navigant Research at navigantresearch.com. You can find our company blog there where all the analysts contribute to that, all the reports, the research reports that we do and white papers and other fun stuff. You can also find the podcast I do with my friend Dan Roth where we talk about cars and what we're driving now and what we're likely to be riding around in the coming years at wheelbearings.media. And if you're in the Santa Clara area over the next couple of days at the Connected and Autonomous Vehicles Conference at the Santa Clara Convention Center, look me up. Come find me. I'll be there. I'm chairing a session on autonomous cars in the morning on Wednesday and then moderating a panel on enterprise opportunities for connected and autonomous vehicles later in the afternoon.
Right on. Awesome. Have a great time. Thanks again for joining us, Sam. We'll talk to you soon.
Pleasure as always. Awesome. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
It's feedback time.
Yeah.
Jonathan wrote to us about our ransomware discussion with Ian Thompson on Friday. He says, everyone says to keep your OS up to date, and that's fine. But few mention the many anti-malware and specialist anti-ransomware products that can help. PC Magazine just published a roundup of major products on May 9th. I have been using Ware Win Anti-Ransom from the venerable Win Patrol for nearly a year now. It alerts me whenever it detects ransomware-like behavior. There are occasional false positives, but it seems to do a fine job. And the company just sent a newsletter claiming that Win Patrol Ware successfully blocked last week's WannaCry attack. Unfortunately, the PC Roundup overlooked Ware and other independent products. So, I did not know that there was specialized anti-ransomware software. And I have never used it, so I cannot attest to its effectiveness, except for
keeping you from clicking on those links.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know. You know, I end up falling into the category of, yeah, but I'm on a Mac and derp-a-der. Like, I don't need to run this software, but it's probably totally not true, right? Like, everybody is susceptible. I just haven't explored all this software. So I guess PCMag.com, look for the roundup. The best ransomware protection is the name of the roundup, and they have a pretty good kind of picking it apart for 2017, all the options, although, like he was saying, it sounds like not everything is in there, but it's a good place to start. It's a little overwhelming when you see all the options. You're like, gosh, all I wanted to do was be safe on the internet. Coming up, more ways that IoT is invading literally everything on Earth ever. But first, let's take a minute to thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They're the sponsor of this episode. You do everything online. You live your life online. Why not secure a mortgage online? I mean, it's what you would expect, right? Instead of having to go, you know, jump those manual hurdles of finding that information, going talking to someone in person, face to face. Not everybody wants to do that. Of course, you can. And if that works for you, great. But if you live your life online, maybe you want to do it a different way. You also want to find someone that you can work with that you could trust as your best interest in mind. And that is Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage is going to give you a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision throughout the process. So you won't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial information to get a mortgage approval in minutes, all online. You can even adjust the rate, adjust the length of your loan in real time, play around with those numbers to kind of dial in the perfect scenario for you. You can make sure that you get the right mortgage solution that's paired to your scenario, your situation. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Just make it easy on yourself. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/TNT. That's quickenloans.com/TNT. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. TNT's fan of the day is Maddie Peterson, who sent us this screen cap of a YouTube app saying, I watch Tech News Today on my Apple products, mostly on my iPhone 6S or Apple TV, third gen. And this is obviously the YouTube app, I assuming on her iOS device. Picture of me with my eyes closed. Great.
You're sleeping.
Awesome. I'm sleeping, as I normally do at the top of the show. I usually start the show asleep, and then I wake up throughout, and by the end, I'm fully awake.
Actually, there's a weird thing on the iOS app, or any iOS apps, you're always sleeping.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's always you pictured sleeping.
They're like, that's that Android guy. Uh-huh. Let's just make him sleep all the time on iOS. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup or us sleeping. And post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, or Facebook, and use the hashtag HowIWatchTNT, and we'll find it. Wake up. It's your story, Megan. Wake up.
This is a good one. In case you missed it, there's a Bluetooth-connected salt shaker about to launch on Indiegogo because who among us hasn't been searching for a more interactive way to season our food? The Smalt. Called the Smalt, bills
itself.
I hate
it already.
At the world's first smart centerpiece for indoor or outdoor use. It's also a speaker and a light that you control with an app, and it really is a must for any quantified kitchen. They called it the quantified kitchen. I did not normally ever call it the quantified kitchen, and if you ever hear me calling my kitchen quantified, then slap me.
It's a conversation starter, all right. They have that touted on their page, a perfect conversation starter. I can imagine the conversations you'll get into when someone starts their conversation about your internet-connected salt shaker with you with built-in speaker, because everyone needs that and their salt. It's probably great. I'm sure it's great.
Dude, how did you get hacked? Oh, they got me through my salt shaker. didn't update my salt shaker.
Why is an internet-connected salt shaker not... Like, what is it about an internet-connected salt shaker that makes me roll my eyes? But so many other internet-connected things probably don't need to be internet-connected either. Yet I'm like, oh, that would be convenient. I can't translate that into salt shaker. For some reason, I am incapable of taking that would be convenient and putting that technology into a salt shaker successfully.
Well, because there's not a problem with your salt.
is not a problem with my salt. You're right.
I guess it could, it could be the exact amount of salt that you need, but I didn't read that anywhere. Or like it could connect to your blood pressure monitor. I didn't read that either. It is a Bluetooth speaker.
Okay. And that I find kind of funny, actually. That's like an admission to me that technology has no business being an salt shaker. So we put a speaker in it to give it another reason to exist.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a joke, although I don't think it is. But I mean, it leads me to believe that it's a joke just because the blog, as Brian was just scrolling through, it's about why everyone should have a centerpiece,
So it's salt shaker, speaker, mood lighting. I mean, there's so many reasons for this to exist, apparently. Although I would love to see one in person. So, hey, if you're watching and you're actually making this product, we'll give it a fair review on the show.
I think we just did.
hey, if you like your Smalt, then you should let us know. TNT@twit.tv. Let us know if you're going to be pitching in on this Indiegogo campaign, or at least just let us know what we're missing, because I don't know where to go with Smalt from here. TNT records live every Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC at twit.tv/live. Like I said, TNT@twit.tv. If you want to be part of the show, you can also leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW, and find us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV.
If you want to join us at our subreddit, you will find us there at technewstoday.reddit.com. You can comment on the stories. You can post stories if you think we might miss them. We go there and check. We check a lot of places, and one of them is Reddit. Find all the ways to subscribe to our show at twit.tv/TNT. And if you want to tweet at me, I am at Megan Maroney, where you will find a lot of Snapchat filters.
Yes, you will. You went crazy with the Snapchat filters today. I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter. You won't find any Snapchat filters from me. I never log into that thing. Thanks to our technical director and editor of the day. Our featured editor today is Brian Burnett. Thank you for putting up with the TriCaster today. Thanks to Burke and occasional Burke chat. Burke wants us to know that are you saying that it's useful because it orders your salt for you when you're running low? Is that the use of the Smalt? Because how many times have I been running low on salt and I forget to buy some new salt to put in it?
Have you ever used an electronic salt, like one where you push the button and it grinds itself?
No, I haven't, but they look ridiculous.
My parents have them.
Are they useful? Like, I mean, they do the same thing that happens when you go like this,
yeah,
right?
Right. But maybe, I don't know why they have it.
Because it exists because it can exist. And yeah. I think that's the point, probably. So, all right. Hey, everyone has their own thing. Thanks to you for talking tech with us today and letting us know how you feel about Smalt. We will certainly read that on the show, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Your hand was so close that time.